Yeah, I had Van do that so I wouldn't mess anything up. I'm used to my own system, so different people have different systems, so I didn't want to mess nothing up. But anyway, I also have another issue with Van to pick with him. He called us the other Jacksons. The other Jacksons attend with y'all. We are the Jacksons. So refer to them as the other, not us. Now, I think it's good to get along with brother and sister. And, you know, I appreciate them for what they've done for us during our move. You know, it's been this time it was a difficult move, believe me. But anyway, it's good to be back home in Alabama. That's where we're born and raised, and it's good to be back here. But I do appreciate the offer to come and preach, and it's been, seems like long ago since I preached the sermon. You know, it's been like 6 months ago, but I appreciate everything that y'all done for us. Anyway, this morning we're going to be talking about some issues that people come up with. You know, that they say, well, I can't do that because I'm busy. I can't attend services because I'm busy. Well, what's going to happen to us on the day, judgment day, when the Lord calls our name and says, why didn't you attend services? You're going to tell him, I was too busy? I think not. I think we will wish we would have listened to the Lord and attended and done the things that we need to do. As the Bible we read a while ago, the Bible text, that's where my sermon will be taken from, talks about a master sending out invitations. We're going to talk about that a little bit. The people in Jesus' parable here were too busy to attend the rich man's feast. Now, I don't know about you, if I'm invited to eat food, I'm going to come. You know, I love food, and that's the way it is. But this man laid out a feast. This was not just any feast. It was a wedding feast. Wrong button. But it was a great honor to be invited to one of these feasts, a banquet at a rich man's house. And these people make excuses to attend. And we're going to talk about those excuses, and we're going to tear them down and see that these excuses were lame. Preparation for these feasts took many, many, many months, and many days rather, or months, and weddings were planned in advance. These feasts were. So you see, when we it's not like today, well, it takes a while today, depending on the bride, but you know how that goes. It takes a while. But these took many days. Once prepared, the food had to be eaten or it was soon spoiled. They didn't have refrigerators. They couldn't hold it back. It had to be eaten. So when everyone turned down the rich man's invitation, you can see why he was mad. The master was mad. All these people believed and said they would come at one point. But when they were invited, they come up with excuses. Two invitations were given. At the first invitation, one would accept or decline. It's, you know, you accept or you decline, so they know how much food to prepare. The second invitation came when the feast was ready, so those who accepted it could come. So you see, if you take this invitation and you say, yes, I'll come, that means you should go, or that they should have went. And there it goes, hitting the wrong button again. The parable is speaking of the second invitation here and how important it was to accept that second one. The people who had agreed to come claimed they were too busy. Now, how does that tie in with us? You know, this mad rush world, think about this, how we go about our daily lives. It's like, we got to go, we got to go, we got to go. Every one of us do this. I do it to some extent. But everybody's too busy. The next person will do it. Or I don't have time. You know, it's a good thing to serve the Lord. It's a good thing to come and worship the Lord God Almighty like we are doing this morning. How important, how much respect should we have for the Lord? Well, we don't come here to socialize. We don't come here just to do other things. We come here to serve, to honor the Lord God Almighty, the same God that gives the Ten Commandments to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. The same God. And we know what that God can do. He showed us in the Bible how He parted the waters. You know, He has done many great things, and people are too busy to serve Him, to love Him. One man's excuse was that he bought land, and now he must go and see it. What's so important about this land? He bought this land, but he accepted him the first invitation. He accepted and he said, yes, I'll come. And now, this piece of land is more important. That rings a bell, doesn't it? Oh, something's too important. I can't go to church. Or, I can't serve the Lord. This is what we're talking about in Bible class. You know, we need to put blinders on. You know, like the, I don't know if they still do, but horses, to keep them on that path. Christians need to, if they have to, put blinders on and walk the straight and narrow path. Not veer from side to side. Walk the straight and narrow. Who buys land without looking at it first? You know, any one of us are smart enough to, you know, I'm not going to buy land if I don't see it before me. You know, it could be not what I want. We don't buy land that way, do we? We're smarter than that. And this land, this man was just pure and simple making an excuse, wasn't he? Being nothing else. People hear and accept the gospel, but they don't want to serve Christ. Matthew 13, 20 and 21 talks about this. How they accept Christ, but after a while, they wither away. They have an excuse. They claim that something's more important. I ask you this morning, what's more important? Serving Christ or this world today? What's more important? You know, we've got to ask ourselves that question every single day, don't we? What do I love the most? God, or do I love this world more? Some people have answered that question and gone the wrong way. It's sad. But we must keep the straight and narrow path. Another man's excuse was that he bought five oxen. Okay, that's, you know, normal. We buy things. But let's look at this. He said he had to try them out. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to buy, say, an automobile and not test it out. Are you? I don't think so. I'm not going to buy some automobile that I have nothing, no knowledge of it whatsoever. I need to take it for a test drive before I buy it. Now, this man comes up and he says, oh, I've got to go test these oxen out that I bought. You know, that excuse doesn't fly, does it? Who would buy a team that he hadn't tried? You know, I use the automobile because, you know, I'm not a farmer, but if I was a farmer and I wanted to buy oxen, I certainly would test them out before I bought them. The third man's excuse was that he married a wife and he couldn't come. You know, these invitations had been sent out, like I said, you know, before. And I called the master's feast a wedding feast before, but it's not. It was just, you know, a feast. Marriages were arranged a year or more before this wedding took place. Now, again, I ask you, how is it that he marries his wife just kind of all of a sudden? He didn't make plans like we need to do in serving God. You know, serving God is not, you know, I'll serve him today, but tomorrow I don't know. Are we that type of Christian? If so, you need to change. You have a heart problem. You need to fix it. Fast. Don't wait. Don't delay. Because we never know what tomorrow has in store. You know, we're not even promised tomorrow, are we? So don't wait for tomorrow. He would have known when he accepted the invitation about the wedding and the prospect according to this feast. There are some things we must not be too busy to do. Now, we talk about we're busy, 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 but you know, there's some things we cannot be too busy for. We must not be too busy to obey the gospel. Obeying the gospel doesn't mean, you know, confessing the Lord and then being baptized in water and then go about your merry way and do whatever you please. Obeying the gospel is a promise. You make a promise to the Lord. I will serve you. I will love you the rest of my days. Now, recently I've had the problem of people not believing that. But I didn't sign nothing when I obeyed the gospel, when I was baptized. I didn't make a promise to nobody. I say you did. You made a promise to the Lord to serve Him for the few rest of your days. All accountable souls will be lost in sin. For all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Without obedience to the gospel of Christ, they'll be lost forever. It's a sad thing to know. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I don't want to face that. I hope you don't. Remember, keep the straight and narrow path. The Roman governor, Felix, for instance, waited for a more convenient season in Acts 24:25. You know, that season probably never came for him. Because what? He was too busy with other things. You know, we can love jobs so much. We can love other things so much that it carries us away on a different path. Don't let anything carry you on a different path than serving God. I'm here to tell you, the world may tell you one thing, But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not worth it. Don't let things of this world take you away from obeying God. I knew a man who procrastinated for years. You know, when we was in Clara, me and Stan Adams and some others were, you know, door knocking, and this guy, it was a sad situation, but for years he declined to be baptized. But when he learned he had cancer, he died the night that he was to be baptized. The night before, rather. That's a shame, isn't it? And I know he knew the gospel. It's sad. But it's true. Life goes on. We must teach others. Teach as many as we possibly can. Don't let opportunities slip by. We must not be too busy to serve God every single day of our life, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but every single day, every single moment that we live, we must serve God. Love Him. We must seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33. It doesn't say seek the world. It doesn't say love the world, love God for all you can. Seek Him, not anything else. God must be first in my planning priorities. He must be first in my giving. Now, I'm not necessarily just talking about of money. Of our time, of our whole soul. Give God the time that He deserves. Not second-hand time, but first. God must be first in my use of time, as I just spoke. We must not be too busy to spend time in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. You know, prayer is, I can't, you know, say it in words, but prayer is the best thing. You know, back when we were struggling, I prayed constantly. We should pray constantly all the time. Not just when times are bad, but when times are good as well. You know, I always have the saying that how are you going to enjoy the good times if you don't go through bad times? If you don't know what bad times are, how are you going to enjoy the good times? That's just how I feel. We must not be too busy to read the Bible daily, Acts 17:11, 1 Peter 2:2. You know, daily Bible reading is essential. We must not be too busy to attend Bible study or worship, as I've said so many times already in Hebrews 10:25. We can't forsake the assembly, as a matter of some is. Don't do it. It's not worth your soul. Truett Cathy, I don't know if anybody founded Chick-fil-A, America's largest chicken fast food chain, died in 2014 at the age of 93. But you know what? He steadfastly refused to open his restaurants on Sunday. Now that's commitment, isn't it? Not to make money on Sundays. Well, we need to have the same kind of commitment as Christians to the Lord. Don't do anything that's going to hinder me from obeying God. There are some things we will not be too busy to miss. We're not going to be too busy to answer the summon of death. You know, we can't put it off. You know, it's the old reaper, you know, we can't buy time. You know, as sometimes the TV and movies do, They buy time, but we cannot. When death comes, it comes. Sudden or slow. It's coming for all of us. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed for men to die once. You know, if we're not obeying God, that should be enough to scare us into obeying the gospel or setting our path in the right direction. Don't let Satan fill your head full of lies that this world is better than the life to come. Psalms 90:10. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they're 80, yet they boast, if only labor and sorrow, but it is soon cut off and we fly away. We're not here, but very little time, according to eternity. Very little time. You know, 80, possibly 90, some are 100. But we're out here for a very short time, according to eternity, or put against eternity. We will not be too busy to stand before the Lord to be judged on that last day. You can't run and hide. The Bible talks about that too. People may try to run and hide, let the rocks fall on them. Nope. And we're talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, Matthew 24. And then later, talks about judgment coming. And judgment will come. Matthew 25:31-33, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the holy angels with Him. He then will sit on the throne in His glory, and all nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Don't be part of the group, the goats. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So that doesn't mean that God's going to change His mind. This loving God is going to change His mind and save everyone. That doesn't sound like a loving God is going to change His mind to me. That sounds like He's going to judge according to what we've done, good or bad. So again, I say, if you need to straighten your path in the way of God, you need to do it now. Don't wait. Don't delay. We will not be too busy to go either to heaven or hell for eternity. You can't miss it. You know, just like death, it's coming. Matthew 25:46. And in conclusion, I don't normally read poems, but I felt this poem felt it would be better said than what I could possibly say. But here it is. I knelt to pray, but not for long. I had so much to do, I must hurry off and get to work, for bills would soon be due. And so I said a hurried prayer and jumped up from my knees. My Christian duty now was done, and my soul could be at ease. All through the day I had no time to speak a word of cheer, no time to speak a word for God. They laughed at me, I feared. And when before the Lord I came, I stood with downcast eyes. Within His hands He held a book, and it was the book of life. He looked into the book and said, "Your name I cannot find." I once was going to write it down, but I never found the time. Imagine the Lord telling you He didn't have time to write your name down in the book of life. That would be sad. But our names can be blotted out. Our names can be destroyed, so to speak. Is your name blotted out of the book of life? Or has it never been written in the book of life? Believe with all your heart. Confess. And then repent, be baptized. Then you can be on that straight and narrow path. But if you failed, there's hope. As long as you're alive, there's still hope. Bring your life back around to Jesus Christ and serve Him all your days. And do that. And then take heed of the words that I've spoken. You know, there's nothing more important than obeying God. And do that now as we stand to sing this song for your encouragement.